Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, 14th chapter, text number 1. This is a long prose verse, and the length of the verse itself is edifying. It gives in this verse a very detailed description, almost a summary, of the complexities of material life. Therefore, it must be very long. And there's an effect just by going through carefully the word for word, just the effect of hearing the word for word of this verse and taking it in, which is the process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Stane stita shutigatam tanuvan manobhir. Without challenging the information, simply submissively one can hear, and there's a meritorious effect. Punya arises, bhakti punya arises within the heart. One becomes wealthy in all aspects of life, and one becomes freed from the complexities of life by hearing rather than by doing it. So I'll go through the word for word of this verse and then the long translation and purport, and we can just listen with rapt attention and benefit. Saha, the self-realized devotee Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Ha, indeed. Uvacha, spoke. Saha, he, the conditioned soul. Eshaha, this one. Deha atmamaninam, of those who foolishly take the body to be the self. Sattva adi, of sattva, raja, and tama. Guna, by the modes. Vishesha, particular. Vikalpata, falsely constituted. Kushala, sometimes by favorable actions. Akushala, sometimes by very unfavorable actions. Samavahara, by a mixture of both. Vinirmata, obtained. Vivida, various types. Deha avalibhi, by the series of bodies. Viyoga samyoga adi, symptomized by giving up one type of body, Viyoga, and accepting another, Sangyoga. Anadi sangsara anubhavasya, of the perception of the beginningless process of transmigration. Dwara bhutena, existing as the doorways. Shat indriya vargena, by these six senses, the mind and five knowledge acquiring senses, namely the eyes, ears, tongue, nose and skin. Tasmin, on that. Durga advavat, like a path that is very difficult to traverse. Asugame, being difficult to pass through. Advani, on a path in the forest. Apatitaha, happened. Ishvarasya, of the controller. Bhagavataha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnuho, of Lord Vishnu. Vashavartinya, acting under the control. Mayaya, by the material energy. Jivalokaha, the conditioned living entity. Ayam, this. Yata, exactly like. Vanik, a merchant. Saartaha, having an object. Artaparaha, one who is very attached to money. Swadeha nishpadita, performed by his own body. Karma, the fruits of activities. Anubhavaha, who experiences. Shmashanavat, ashivatamayam, like an inauspicious cemetery or place of burial. Sangsara attavyam, in the forest of material life. Gataha, having entered. Na, not. Adyapi, until now. Vipala, unsuccessful. Bahu pratiyoga, full of great difficulties and varieties of miserable conditions. Iha, whose activities here in this material world. Tat tapa upavash upashamanim, which pacifies the miseries of the forest of material life. We want to know what that is, right? Yes. Hari Guru Charana Aravinda, to the lotus feet of the Lord and his devotee. Marukara Anupadavim, the road followed in pursuance of devotees who are attached like bumblebees. Avarunde, gain. So, who else but Srila Prabhupada would take the trouble to translate so many verses and give us the word for word? It's his intense desire to see that everyone in the world has this information in such a way that it can't be parsed and it can't be deviated in any other way. Very carefully, painstakingly, he gave us these books, and now entering into the translation and purport, we have his direct association. The times when he would translate in the middle of the night, pouring his heart into this, giving his realizations, pouring his heart into these books, we now have this intimate connection to hear from him. This revealed scripture gives us that connection to the Lord and his devotees in the most profound way possible. Translation. Please stand by because it's a page long. When King Parikshit asked Shukadeva Goswami about the direct meaning of the material forest, Shukadeva Goswami replied as follows. My dear King, a man belonging to the mercantile community, Vanik, is always interested in earning money. Sometimes he enters the forest to acquire some cheap commodities like wood and earth and sell them in the city at good prices. Similarly, the conditioned soul, being greedy, enters this material world for some material profit. Gradually, he enters the deepest part of the forest, not really knowing how to get out. Having entered the material world, the pure soul becomes conditioned by the material atmosphere, which is created by the external energy under the control of Lord Vishnu. Thus, the living entity comes under the control of the external energy, Daivi Maya. Living independently and bewildered in the forest, he does not attain the association of devotees, who are always engaged in the service of the Lord. Once in the bodily conception, he gets different types of bodies, one after another, under the influence of material energy and impelled by the modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajogun, and tamogun. In this way, the conditioned soul goes sometimes to the heavenly planets, sometimes to the earthly planets, and sometimes to the lower planets and lower species. Thus, he suffers continuously due to different types of bodies. These sufferings and pains are sometimes mixed. Sometimes they are very severe, and sometimes they are not. These bodily conditions are acquired due to the conditioned soul's mental speculation. He uses his mind and five senses to acquire knowledge, and these bring about the different bodies and different conditions. Using the senses under the control of the external energy, Maya, the living entity suffers the miserable conditions of material existence. He is actually searching for relief, but he is generally baffled, although sometimes he is relieved after great difficulty. Struggling for existence in this way, he cannot get shelter of pure devotees, who are like bumblebees engaged in loving service at the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. And now the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The most important information in this verse is Hari Guru Charanaravinda Madhukara Anupadavim. What is the most important information in this verse? Very good. Hari Guru Charana Aravinda Madhukara Anupadavim. In the material world, the conditioned souls are baffled by their activities, and sometimes they are relieved after great difficulty. On the whole, the conditioned soul is never happy. He simply struggles for existence. Actually, his only business is to accept the spiritual master, the guru, and through him he must accept the lotus feet of the Lord. This is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bhij. People struggling for existence in the forests or cities of the material world are not actually enjoying life. They are simply suffering different pains and pleasures, generally pains that are always inauspicious. They try to gain release from these pains, but they cannot due to ignorance. For them, it is stated in the Vedas, tadviknanartam sa gurum eva bigachet. When the living entity is lost in the forest of the material world in the struggle for existence, his first business is to find a bona fide guru who is always engaged at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. After all, if he is at all eager to be relieved of the struggle for existence, he must find a bona fide guru and take instructions at his lotus feet. In this way, he can get out of the struggle. Since the material world is compared herein to a forest, it may be argued that in Kali Yuga, modern civilization is mainly situated in the cities. A great city, however, is like a great forest. Actually, city life is more dangerous than life in the forest. If one enters an unknown city without friend or shelter, living in that city is more difficult than living in a forest. There are many big cities all over the surface of the globe, and wherever one looks, he sees the struggle for existence going on 24 hours a day. People rush about in cars going 70 and 80 miles an hour, constantly coming and going, and this sets the scene of the great struggle for existence. One has to rise early in the morning and travel in that car at breakneck speed. There is always the danger of an accident, and one has to take great care. In his automobile, the living entity is full of anxieties, and his struggle is not at all auspicious. Apart from human beings, other species like cats and dogs are also struggling very hard day and night for existence. Thus, the struggle for existence continues and the conditioned soul changes from one position to another. For a while, he is a child, but he has to become a boy. From a boy, he has to change into a youth, and from a youth to manhood and old age. Finally, when the body is no longer workable, he has to accept a new body in a different species. Giving up the body is called death, and accepting another body is called birth. The human form is an opportunity to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, and through him, the Supreme Lord. This Krishna consciousness movement has been started to give an opportunity to all the members of human society who are misled by foolish leaders. This Krishna consciousness movement has been started to give an opportunity to all the members of human society who are misled by foolish leaders. This Krishna consciousness movement has been started to give an opportunity to all the members of human society who are misled by foolish leaders. No one can get out of this struggle for existence, which is full of miseries, without accepting a pure devotee of the Lord. The material attempt changes from one position to another, and no one actually gains relief from the struggle for existence. The only resort is the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master, and through him, the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dina Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Dina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatham Vijam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Pratitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktabrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is such a great pleasure to be here with all of you in Vrindavan during this very special time just after Kartik, when devotees have been intensely practicing devotional service. And now are reaping the results, appreciating the effects of simply absorbing oneself, themselves, continually in devotional service, being in the association of devotees constantly. So I thank you very much. In this verse, which I mentioned at the beginning, I found to be moving in one aspect, because it's so long, there's so many details, which is astounding in and of itself, that the Bhagavatam is so accurate. And how'd they know that? And how did Prabhupada, how was he so astute? Apparently he came from Vrindavan, small town. He's from India, different culture, different time. But he has such a lens. He saw everything. And one who's absorbed in Krishna consciousness, especially with a view to giving it to others, becomes empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to develop the vocabulary, the ways and means, to express and communicate to others the urgency of taking to Krishna consciousness, and to give the details that will actually move them to do that. Hare Krishna. And so, in a long sentence, when someone's making an assertion that, yes, you're a very good cook, and you're one of the nicest people I've ever known, you sing like an angel, but, and then suddenly you feel everything's nullified. Anuttama Prabhu taught us this in the communication seminar. You can go on and on speaking to someone, really like the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you live, but negated. So in this verse, we see also so many details about material life. And at the end, we have relief. We hear, but if you just do this one thing, if you follow in the footsteps of the pure devotees, then you will be relieved. You'll be saved from all this suffering. And the beauty of this concept, first of all, is that it works. And second of all, is that you don't have to be anybody special to do that. You simply have to decide, I'll follow the path given by the pure devotees. Bejure munayota gre bhagavantama dhoksajam satvam vishunam shemaya kalpante yehinutaniha. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami tells the sages at Naimasaranya that previously all the great acharyas, the great elevated souls, worshipped Lord Vishnu because he's beyond the three modes of material nature, and therefore one can obtain the highest benefit of life. They knew that, the great secret. And those who follow in the footsteps of those great sages are eligible for the same result. In other words, one doesn't have to be a great sage, one doesn't have to be a Mahajan or an Acharya or a Guru, but if one simply follows faithfully as best as one can in the footsteps of those great sages, the path that's chalked out by them, then the ocean of material existence, as the Srimad Bhagavatam says, shrinks to the size of a vatsapadam, which means the hoofprint of a calf. Twayambujaksha kilasatvadam samadina veshi chaitasayake mahatkritena. If you follow in the footsteps of the Mahat, you find out who the great souls are, and you simply follow in their footsteps. Twatpada potena mahatkritena kurvanti go vatsa padam bhavabdim. Then the entire ocean of material life, all the difficulties that are being described here, they become surmountable. It's possible to step over them. And so dramatic are the demigods who are speaking this verse to Lord Krishna as he's in the womb of Devaki. They say that the entire ocean shrinks to the size of the water contained within the hoofprint of a calf. And you can just step over that. Not only that, when you approach the boat, if you just try to approach the boat, in other words, if it's your intention, I'm going to get on that boat, even if you can't get on it yet, you're not capable of actually getting in the boat yet, but you say, I'm getting in that boat one way or the other, I'm getting in that boat. Then even by approaching the boat, the ocean shrinks to the size of the water contained within the hoofprint of a calf, because your intention to follow is so powerful. That's how profound this principle is of following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and the pure devotees, and to be connected to the devotees of the Lord. So this verse also indicates, and Prabhupada quotes the verse from Mundaka Upanishad that tad vignan artam sa gurum eva vigachchet, that one must approach a guru. And you can take this that must be your feeling if you're going to see a guru. Most people in the world can't see a guru anywhere. They can search high and low, but they can't see a guru, they can't find a guru, because they don't really want a guru. The people who find a guru are people who must have a guru. It's such an intense desire within their heart that I need help. I can't go another step in this world. They've realized the complexities of material life, and they realize that I can't get out of it on my own. They say, I have to find a guru or I'll die here. Like Dhruva Maharaj's determination was so great that Narada Muni appeared. And Prabhupada indicates that if you want a guru like Narada Muni, you better have a desire like Dhruva Maharaj. And this is the important point, that I must develop such a burning desire, because one who has that is helped personally by the Lord. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Those who have this intention and desire to serve the Lord, to surrender to Krishna, are helped personally by Krishna within the heart. Why wouldn't he help? It's his whole intention. He's known as the best friend of all living entities. And he's right there next to the soul within the heart. And therefore, even the slightest inkling, redundant, even an inkling of desire towards his service, towards finding out who he is, even if you have no idea who he is or how to find him, is rewarded by Krishna from within the heart. Gajendra was an elephant, and Prahlad Maharaj remembered him before he began to speak. Prahlad Maharaj was pushed forward as a candidate to pacify Lord Nrsingadev, because Lord Nrsingadev was so angry that even the demigods, after all their beautiful prayers in Sanskrit, could not pacify the Lord. So they said, Prahlad, you try. A 5-year-old boy pushed into the cage of a lion. And then Prahlad said, what can I say? I'm just a boy. Not only that, I was born in a demoniac family. I don't know Sanskrit. I don't have the qualification like everyone else does. And then he remembered Gajendra, the elephant. And he said, Bhaktya tutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. That Gajendra, he had bhakti. Even he was an elephant. And because with sincerity he offered his prayers to the Lord, Krishna answered. And Krishna liberated him. Bhaktya tutosha. He satisfied the Lord by this bhakti, by his full-on intention that I'm surrendering now to the Lord. Of course, he had a crocodile on his leg, and that helps. But everyone has a crocodile on their leg. Admit it. Everyone tries, I don't have a crocodile on my leg. Well, if you don't now, you will later. And Gajendra said, I know pure devotees, they don't ask for anything, but I do have a crocodile on my leg now. And please help. These moments are especially rare in this life to have an opportunity. When do I get an opportunity? One time in this life to actually with my full heart say, I surrender, that I'm giving up, and that I will serve you, Krishna. When do I get one opportunity in this lifetime? Srimad Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami says, better have this one moment of full clarity that this is what I'm going to do than a whole lifetime of pretense. What's the use? So, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives the key, which is Daivahiyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. This material nature, as we've just heard in detail, is difficult to overcome. But There it is. You have to have a spiritual attorney. Is it? It's right here. That's what a guru is, like Prabhupada said. He's like an attorney. It's like you go in the office, I'm really in trouble. I have crocodile on my leg. I have bills to pay, and I don't know how I'll ever pay them. What am I going to do? It's like, okay, let me go through the books here, see what your case is. Yes, you're absorbed in material life, life after life. You're in a very difficult situation. Krishna says that it's very difficult to overcome. But, and then suddenly your life has new meaning. It's like, oh, there's a clause here. There's a way out. I've never heard this before. But if you surrender to me, you can easily cross beyond it. Oh, what a relief. But also the language of this translation is difficult to overcome. It's certainly an understatement. It's difficult to overcome. It's impossible. No one's ever done it. Prahlad Maharaj says, everyone's tried. Everyone. Every living entity in the material world has tried to become the big man or woman, that I'm going to be the one who doesn't suffer. I'm going to have enough money that I can retire and just be happy. And nothing will bother me. Heroic to the end. But it's never worked. Not one time. If it worked one time, we might have a little hope, some optimism in the material world that yes, maybe I can too. But never! Not one time in the history of the creation. And therefore, Krishna gives blanket statements throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Brahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. From top to bottom, you won't find a nook or cranny where you won't have defeat by the material energy, where you won't be defeated over and over again. You won't be crushed. And Prahlad Maharaj says, the very second you begin thinking otherwise, that I can be happy in the material world and maybe it will work out, that's when you really start to suffer. So better take the advice of the attorney. Go to the guru. The guru says, there's no way out. You've got so much debt, you'll never pay it off. You're finished in this world. And once you know that for sure, that's a relief. Because as long as I'm thinking, well, there's still something here for me in the material world, then it hurts like anything. That's why it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam, only the complete fool and the Paramahamsa is happy in this world. The Paramahamsa has absolutely, positively decided that I'm not part of this world. Asango hyayam purushaha, the soul, me, the living entity, has nothing to do with this material nature. Only that I can engage in Krishna service. And the fool thinks, yes, I'll get it. It's any time now. And everybody in between, they have to suffer. In this verse, Prabhupada mentions that this metaphor given about the forest of material enjoyment, someone might argue that there are no more forests. There certainly aren't in Vrindavan. At least not around here. There's no more forest. Anywhere you go, practically the forests are very rare. Everyone wants to chop them down and build, as Prabhupada says, big skyscraper building. And I heard this morning as I was getting ready for Mangal Arti, he said, what a waste of human energy to build a big skyscraper building and then think, I'll live in there forever. You won't. So, enter into the city. If you enter into the city as a vanik, a merchant, thinking I'll get something here, then it's worse than the regular forest, which is more accommodating to anyone. But if you're a devotee and you go into the forest of material enjoyment, into the city, with the idea, this belongs to Lord Chaitanya. In fact, this whole city and that whole building and all those houses and apartments, Lord Chaitanya has put them in one place out of his kindness, so I don't have to go very far to meet everybody. That's the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm not going to the forest. Other people may sit in a cave and meditate, but not me. I'm going to the city. Show me the biggest city, the most crowded place, because I want to be there for the people. If you go to any city as a devotee with the intention of serving the living entities there by bringing them the message of Srila Vyasadeva in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam, then you will be accommodated in that place, no problem. In fact, Prabhupada used to drop off devotees in certain places, say, you go there and start a center. And they're, what? Here? Get out. Hansa Dutta told me, or he says in his memories also, that when they were traveling with Prabhupada, some devotees learned that it was dangerous to say, Prabhupada, it looks like a nice place for preaching, because Prabhupada said, okay, you get off here. You just go. But what is the problem? Devotees never have a problem when they go to preach in the big city of material enjoyment. They don't have a problem, because there's no problem when one's thinking how to bring Krishna consciousness to other people. Krishna accommodates. I remember the first time I went to Hong Kong. I'd never been to Hong Kong in my life, and I didn't even know where the temple was, and my flight was late, and I had no connection, no phone number. I just had a Back to Godhead magazine, and I thought, well, I'll just find the devotees when I get there. But because my plane was late, I got in late at night, so late everyone was sleeping. Cab driver drove me to the address. After much trouble, I found it on the street. It was in a building with a lot of different buttons to push. Each one had a little intercom system. So I pushed the button that looked like the right one, and I waited, and I pushed it again. I thought, I got nowhere else to go. I'm in Hong Kong. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. That button, somebody better answer. Pushed. Finally, someone said something in Cantonese, and I said, Hari Bol. And then all of a sudden, bzzz, the door opened. And I thought, this is the secret. You just, if you go anywhere and your idea is Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. If you're going to spread the Maha Mantra everywhere, doors just open, doesn't matter. They didn't know who I was, I just said, Hari Bol. And they said, okay, must be a devotee. They didn't even greet me, everyone was sleeping. I went up, got a place on the floor, woke up for Mangal Aarti. And this is the life of devotional service. If you say, I'm going to give myself, how to surrender? Follow in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. This is our legacy. What did he do? Painstakingly, at every second, he thought, how can I give this message to others? He wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam with the idea that it would go into every home. Every home. He wanted us to walk in boldly, just like he walked boldly into America. He didn't have a button to push. He didn't have anybody to answer. No one was waiting for him. He just walked in, but he brought his books and he said, I'm taking the message of Srila Vyasadeva in the form of these books and I'm going to introduce it. And that's what we have to do too. That's what it means to follow in the footsteps. And it's mentioned in this verse that one must follow in the footsteps of the devotees who are like honeybees. And what does that mean? It means so many things. There's so much beautiful poetry throughout the Vaishnava literature about the bee. But one very practical thing it means, that is something Prabhupada said frequently. And bees, they look for honey. Or they make honey. And they live around honey. And the flies, they take the sores. And one time on a morning walk, you can hear this, there's a very instructive, but at the same time humorous conversation Prabhupada's having with one Indian man. And the Indian man's telling Prabhupada about a temple in India where they were criticizing Prabhupada, saying that his disciples were black sheep, discounting everything ISKCON was doing around the world and so forth. And he had found one article about some trouble the devotees had had in Japan. And the man was saying that on Janmashtami, this person had brought it to the attention of his congregation and say, just see, ISKCON's had trouble in Japan. And Prabhupada said, then flies seek sores, whereas the honeybee seeks honey. And he said, this is the mentality of a pamara. A pamara. Pamara means a low-class person, to seek the sores instead of the honey. And the Indian man said, yes, yes, this is true, this is true. And Prabhupada said, then you should have told him that he is a pamara. And the man said, no, I didn't tell him. I told him in some other way. And so the Prabhupada said, no, next time you go back, you can go to him and say, sir, I forgot to tell you one thing. He said, what is that? You are Pamara. And all the devotees laughed. And so Prabhupada said it again. You go back. You tell him. I forgot to tell you one thing. You are Pamara. And then Prabhupada said, two men were sitting together, and one man said, I lost 50,000. And the other man said, well, I didn't have 50,000 to lose. So Prabhupada said, someone's sitting there finding fault, but he had nothing to lose anyway because he didn't do anything. So the honeybee, the one who finds what is the good quality in others, this is how to live in the spirit of Srila Prabhupada and the great devotees. Find the good, find the meritorious, augment the good qualities, fan the spark in the hearts of those that we meet everywhere we go. And actually, this is the greatest occupation, and this is really the only occupation of the Krishna consciousness movement, is to reignite the fire of knowledge and reconnect the individual, each individual soul to Krishna, one way or the other. And the endeavor to do that is following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat. And now I'll take some reflections. Anything that you heard that stuck in your mind that you would reflect back. And we have another microphone that we can pass around. I'm sure of it. And until it comes, it manifests here, you just say what it is and I'll repeat it. And then we'll go from there. So one thing you heard that stuck in your mind. A devotee walks into a city and says, all this belongs to Lord Chaitanya. Thank you. What else? Anything else from the verse, purport, or the discussion we had so far? Tattvavit. In the summer in Geneva, the devotees celebrated the anniversary of Prabhupada's visit there. And the early devotees described the difficulties they had preaching there. And the first time they went to the Swiss cities, there was no accommodation. They were sleeping under bridges. And so many difficulties they met. But, give us the, after the but comma, I don't think we can hear that. But they kept distributing books, and today there's a thriving yatra in that part of the world. What else? Thank you, Tattvavit Prabhu. Yes, over here. What's that? Yes. Yeah, they have nothing to lose and all to gain by criticizing. Thank you. Yes. Yes, if you want to have a guru like Narada Muni, you have to have a determination like Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah. Yeah, one moment of clarity better than a lifetime pretense. Sometimes this phrase, a teachable moment, a moment in which you've fully realized that I have an opportunity to surrender, and you express that. Actually, especially in japa, there's an opportunity every day when chanting japa to touch this mood, to go deeply into that mood of surrender, but the chanting of Hare Krishna. And we should take the advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who says you have to beg. You have to beg. He says, Harinam Mahamantra, Lao Tumi Magi. You should beg for this Maha Mantra. And then he says that I begged for it and I got it. So you should try to beg to have this one moment of clarity. Thank you. Another point? Yes. Nagar Kirtan. Hold that right to your mouth. Why did you like that?
I like it because I saw the way he was breaking through this conception that everybody has that actually buildings make you safe and civilization makes you safe and the wild and uncharted territory is actually dangerous. But it's actually the human beings are more dangerous to themselves.
Thank you. One, two.
Thank you for the nice comment. Is it or is it right to say that yogis are not doing anything because we don't observe them within hours
a day? Is it right to say that devotees are not doing anything if we don't observe them 24 hours a day? I don't understand. If devotees are chanting 24 hours a day, can we say they're not doing anything? Yeah. Should we criticize if someone's chanting, but they're not doing any menial service? Well, I don't know about criticizing them, but I just... I don't know. One would have to know more. One would have to have more information, I think, about a person's life. Generally, a lot of criticisms come prematurely by the mind because we don't know enough about somebody. We don't know who they are. I saw that Prabhupada used to treat people as if they were the next link to spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. That this person actually could have been sent by Krishna to help me spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, and it didn't matter who it was, he would see them like that. And I think that people respond to how we treat them also and how we see them. But I wouldn't assume, because I don't see somebody not doing menial service, that they're not doing any. I don't know. But generally, those who are chanting also are getting some service because we're saying, please engage me in your service, and then Krishna obliges. Yes? Just so in case you couldn't hear, he was remembering the statement that it's an understatement to say that the material world is difficult to overcome because it's impossible and that nobody's ever done it. Over here. Say the first part one more time and I'll repeat it because I don't think it's loud enough to reach all the way. Well, he liked the point that you don't have to be something special in order to follow. And just to follow. You don't have to be a great sage or Muni or Acharya or anything like that. You can be ordinary and just follow. Yeah. But it's also important to understand the instructions of the Mahajans. And sometimes it's not easy to understand the instructions of the Mahajans. He said, just like there another group that was taking Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and then they might have deviated one way or the other. So it takes intelligence. And takes intelligence in? And how to get it. Yeah, it's really important to have to align oneself with devotees who are faithfully following. I just ran into Sri Mukunda Datta Prabhu when I was walking to the MVT earlier, and I asked him about a meaning of a word in Sanskrit, and he knows all these different, you know, the etymology of the word and different details and things, and so he said, so what was Prabhupada's synonym for it? And I told him, and he said, well, that's it then. We don't need to go any further than that. And I was thinking about the statement that a little Sanskrit learning is dangerous. A little Sanskrit learning is dangerous. Someone told me that the other day. So a little Sanskrit, Prabhupada said that. Because then someone might start thinking, well, not that it's bad to study Sanskrit, but there's a principle here that one should always be careful to keep fidelity to the acharya. And one should check oneself. One thing, Urjaswat, the great Urjaswat, who recently passed away, one of Prabhupada's disciples, just a week ago, he left his body in Tucson, Arizona. Well, during the night, I don't know what time it was, but it was before Mangal Artik, and he was reading a book about Lord Chaitanya, and then he just left his body. And a few years ago, I saw him in Dallas, Texas, and I said, so do you have any instruction for me? He said, don't envy your spiritual master. I thought, wow, that was abrupt. And I thought about it ever since. And Krishna says the same thing in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Don't envy the acharya. And so one should be careful, check oneself. Little Sanskrit learning, think, I'll look at some other thing. We were appreciating this Kartik. We were reading from the Krishna book and from the Chaitanya Charitamrita every day. Every day has set program. And I was thinking how nice it is to read from Prabhupada's books, just Prabhupada's books, because then anything that comes in my mind, I don't have to question it. Where'd that come from? So it came from Prabhupada's books. And things become very clear that way. And to take the translations, the synonyms, and so forth, the way he passes them down, keep that fidelity, is a safe way. And it may not be as glamorous. I may not develop a glamorous demeanor and be able to give many alternative meanings and so forth. However, the most advantageous position in this life is to be faithful to one's guru and to the acharya. And this comes out in this verse. If one has that, yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tata gurau, tasya te katita hyarta prakashanti mahatmana. You get that, then you actually understand who Krishna is. He reveals himself to such a person who has firm faith in guru and Krishna simultaneously and in the shastra. So there's no loss and all gain for taking this position that I will simply follow strictly the way it's been passed down to me and keep oneself in that kind of association. It does require some intelligence and sincerity to check oneself from straying off this way or that way. Thank you very much. Last time I gave away some charts that tell how many pages a day of each one of Prabhupada's books you have to read to complete them within a certain amount of time. And many of you got them, but I boldly promised when I was giving the last class at the beginning of Kartik that I have enough for everybody. But I didn't, and I've suffered ever since because some of you said, where's mine? And you said you had enough for everybody. And so I brought a few more. For those of you who didn't get them last time, it's a nice chart because Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kalavasana Krito. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, they quantified everything. They measured their sadhana, how they were doing it. And one thing I'll leave you with before I give this chart out to whoever wants it. I only have a limited quantity this time, so just those who didn't get one last time. If you read 41 pages a day of Srila Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam, you will finish the entire Bhagavatam in 1 year. 1 year. And that's a nice cycle to continuously finish the Bhagavatam 1 year. And it's altogether possible, because if you just cut out internet and Facebook, then you'll have enough time. Guaranteed. And if that doesn't work, then when you go over that bridge when you leave Vrindavan, just throw your cell phone out the window and say, I don't need it. I got to do my 41 pages a day. But that in and of itself will keep you just reading Prabhupada's Bhagavatam and his purports, 41 pages a day, it will relieve from all anxieties. It will give complete intelligence about how to run your particular department of the Krishna consciousness mission. You'll know. You won't be in anxiety. You'll actually know what to do. And it all comes from this power that's been bequeathed to us through the Sampradaya, through the most powerful lens, which is Srila Prabhupada's preaching. He knows, he's been empowered how to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And if we simply take that lens and follow in the way that he showed us, then everything will be perfect. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo.
Just if you didn't get one last time, because I only have a few. Tough of it.
I think
one here. Okay. It's okay. It's okay. There's more with this kid. It's also online too. Okay. This reminds me of the first time I distributed books in China. Okay.
Look, anyone who didn't get one.
Yeah, but I didn't get
one. I didn't get one.
Okay, Maharaj. What's it here? I didn't get.
That's nothing, but you
want to say
something.
What's it here?
Krishna Prabhu.
What's it here?
Hare Rama, Hare Rama.